You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
This is Title Town Sound.
Prepare yourself for overwhelming intelligence.
He's going to look like Gronk riding a unicorn carrying a lightsaber.
I know how toast works.
Clay Matthews, squirrel whisperer.
Your squirrel naming game is not strong.
The turd cheeseburger could come back.
If one of us wants to pee on it, sure.
I'm not bailing you out on that.
I was acting unprofessionally.
I'm just here to ruin things.
Welcome once again to Title Town Sound, episode 77. This is what I'm calling the Victor and Florence Van Evenhoven edition of the show.
What?
Van Evenhoven. There we go.
Is that our Swedish sister team?
I don't know. But I'll explain that in a moment. On the show today, so I don't forget to mention who's on the show, we have Jeremy van der Linden. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm great, Bobo.
Fantastic. James Corismo also here. How are you, James?
I am about as good as I can be right now.
All right. And Bobo, of course, here. For those of you who don't know who Victor and Florence Van Evenhoven, I really hope I'm pronouncing that right, are, the city of Green Bay bought 48 acres of farmland from them in 1956 for $73,305 so that they could construct a new city stadium, which, of course, is now Lambeau Field. And I read that this week, and I wanted to give them a shout-out.
That's great. You know, we should name the podcast ever more important stuff, like, from now on.
Yes, the Van Evenhoven Hour. I think that'd be a great name for the show. On that note, on this edition of the show, episode 77, James sells seashells by the seashore. Jeremy's shirt shop sells pre-sunk... Dang it! Ugh.
You fail. You fail.
Screw it. Nothing happens on this show. Let's get right into it. It was the second one. I knew it. Anyway. I decided to try to get ambitious for the opening to distract myself from the game that we watched this week. Immensely frustrating, and I can't believe I'm going to ask this question at all, let alone after week two. But is Aaron Rodgers broken? Is there something just fundamentally wrong with Aaron Rodgers at this point? And Jeremy, I will throw it to you first. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is broken? And if so, can he be fixed?
Yes and yes. This has been going on for a while, probably back at the beginning of last year. But Aaron Rodgers, I was going through my film breakdown, and on every pass, to be clear, I'm not completely through the breakdown yet. I'm just about through the first half. But on every pass, regardless of how the pocket looked, if he had a clean pocket or not, he was throwing off his back foot. His footwork is atrocious all game long. Ben Fennell today, a lot of Packer fans know him. He does X's and O's stuff on Twitter. He does good breakdown stuff. He actually works for the Eagles, but he's a Packers fan. And so every week he'll go through the Packers film. He said that Aaron Rodgers' play going back to 2015 is similar to that of Johnny Manziel. Yep. So a mobile quarterback with a big, strong arm, but he's skittish, and his technique is poor. So that can be fixed, yes. Who can fix it, how, and when? Those are the important questions. Can this coaching staff fix that issue? I don't know, because it's been going on since last year. I don't know that he's listening to anyone at 1265. I don't know that that's happening.
Well, James, do you think Aaron Rodgers is broken?
I think if he's not broken, he's darn close to it. He's as broken as we've ever seen him. The good news is, though, is I think he's going to get it together. I think he's not only is he fixable, I think he'll be fixed sooner than later. just based on his career, he thrives on adversity, and I don't know that he's ever faced adversity like this before, because he's making it himself, which is profound and not anything like I'd normally say, because it's not nearly as silly. But he's at a point now where he's got to make a decision to either take advice and be coached or continue to suck. And I hope that he's not so obtuse that he wants to continue to suck at the expense of tuning everybody else out. That's my biggest fear with him, is that he's screw it. I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
I disagree. I disagree that it'll be fixed soon, because I think that this stems back to last year when Mike McCarthy decided that they didn't need an individual for a quarterback's coach and an individual for a wide receiver's coach. He combined the two. And I think Aaron Rodgers wasn't quite getting what he needed at that time, and I don't think he's getting it now. And even if he is, I don't think he's listening. Here's the thing. I have a theory on this. I think Aaron Rodgers has bought into his own legend. I think that Aaron Rodgers, and we've heard him say this many times, he has worked on his upper body so that regardless of his footwork, his upper body functions the way that it should when he's throwing the football. I think he's convinced that that's something he's mastered, and I think he's let the footwork slip because he thinks, I can make these throws without concerning myself with that. And now it's not happening. Now, that's just a theory, but how many times have we seen him come out in the media and talk about his upper body work that he's done and how he trained himself to use his upper body as if his feet are planted? I don't know that the guys on the staff right now can get Aaron Rodgers' reign back in. Because if they could have, they would have done it last year, because this stuff's on tape. It's not like they're not seeing it. The Packers know what he's doing. They know what's wrong with this game. And if he did it all last season and he's got it going on now, I think he's broken and it might be a while before he gets it fixed. Now, it is only week two. We're going to week three now. It could just be the fact that he didn't play in the preseason. I hope, but I doubt it. It could be, but I doubt it. I think that he's still struggling with the same issues he struggled with last year, and I think that those issues stem from a coaching staff that doesn't know how to control Aaron Rodgers anymore. He's not listening, and he's doing what he wants to. And how often are we watching a Packers game where Aaron Rodgers just looks mad the whole game?
Every game.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's...
He doesn't look like he's having fun anymore. He's usually screaming at somebody. Like, for example, J.C. Treader this week, Rodgers thought he should have snapped the ball. Now, we know that Rodgers will yell at guys on the field. He does it all the time. I don't think he should, but he does it. I think if that's something you want your center to pay attention to, when the defense jumps off the ball too soon, you want him to snap the ball, then you wait till after that drive's over and you go to him on the sidelines and say, hey, man, this is the way I'd like to handle that. And screaming at the guy on national television makes you look like a jerk and probably doesn't make him very happy and probably doesn't make him want to play for you or with you. I think Rodgers' attitude is poor. It has been poor. We watched it all last season. I think the only happy moment we saw from Aaron Rodgers last year was the Hail Mary in Detroit. So something is broken. It's not just his mechanics either. He's unhappy. My theory on him being unhappy is that he does not like what Mike McCarthy is running. I don't think he likes where the offense is. They used to run more of a dink and dunk West Coast offense. They're still throwing outside the numbers. They bring in a big tight end that everybody says is the next JerMichael Finley type guy, and then we don't really see anything going up the seam. We're not seeing Jared Cook over the middle. I think Rodgers is unhappy with the offense in Green Bay. I think he's unhappy with what's being called out there. And I think when it doesn't function, he just gets more mad because he doesn't like it. And then when it doesn't work, he's like, see, this is stupid.
Okay, we have a tweet in a little bit that asks, will 12 let anyone fix him? Jeremy, it sounds like you're saying no at this point.
No, I don't want to say no for sure. I think, though, the chances are higher that it's a no. And it's not, will he let anyone fix him? I just don't know that I think he's tuning out the coaching staff that's currently there. Chris wrote a fantastic article last year. We tweeted it out at the Titletown Sound Twitter account. You can go to @TitletownSound and look for it. But it's about, has Mike McCarthy's time in Green Bay expired? He's past that 10-year mark that Bill Walsh talked about, where you get 10 years as a head coach and then it's time for something new. And if this stuff continues from last year, I'm going to say yes, that it has expired. And it's because the players are tuning him out. You got guys last year. What was the dude's name? I can't remember. Alonzo Harris last year with Eddie Lacy getting cut right before the Lions game. They were out of control. You know, they were out past curfew. A good coaching staff has those things under control. And not that McCarthy's not a good coach and his staff isn't good, but if your staff has been there long enough that people start tuning you out, you start losing control. So it might be the case that McCarthy is a good coach, but maybe it's just not working in Green Bay anymore.
Okay, James, I want to ask that question to you too. Will Aaron Rodgers let anyone fix him? Because I feel like you're going to say yes.
I think that will he let somebody fix him? Yes. Are they currently on our coaching staff? I don't think they are. I think that Aaron Rodgers, we all know, is a very, I don't want to use the word sensitive, but he's very
prideful.
Yes. He's high maintenance. And, and when your coach is publicly occasionally calling you out and you have your offensive lineman, TJ Lang was calling him out very passive aggressively this week, but he did make a comment that maybe Aaron shouldn't hold on to the ball for 8 seconds when the blocking's there. I think those things stick in his craw and he dwells on it and he thinks about it and it gets to him. I think that there needs to be some sort of reset button pushed in the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and a lot of the people on the Packers. And I think it's going to have to start with Mike McCarthy. I don't know if they need to go into a room somewhere and just lock the door and don't come out until
it's fixed.
It's fixed. I mean, you know, it worked for me and my brother.
And, hug it out. Wear the same shirt.
Yeah. You know, why not? Wear a shirt with two head holes and two sleeves and that's it.
Make them hold hands throughout practice, you know, that kind of thing.
They should have like gunny sack races. And of course, Janice would probably kick. But anyway, so yeah, I think Aaron can be fixed. I think that it's possible for somebody to come in. I think a lot of this started happening when Ben McAdoo was let go or went to the Giants. I think that Van Pelt's position being consolidated didn't help things either because he seemed to be the only other guy that Rodgers really ever paid attention to. I touched on this in the recap today, actually, when I wrote about this, the relationship between McCarthy and Rodgers and how it just seems to perpetually get worse and worse and worse. And as that happens, their play gets worse and worse. And it's about time that they both start owning up to their mistakes and figuring out how to move forward, because pretty soon we're going to be at a position where we're not able to.
I just want to hit the rewind button a little bit here because the tone of this podcast has been negative and everyone sucks and McCarthy's going to be fired and should be fired. I'm pretty positive that all three of us on the podcast, and I'll include Chris in this even though he's not here today.
Hi, Chris.
I'm pretty positive all of us feel like this can be turned around. Like, it's not for sure over. But it's more of a matter of, like, if there's a continuation of these things, there's got to be a change. It's as simple as that. If Aaron Rodgers continues to play with such poor footwork, and not only that, holding onto the ball too long, seeing guys open and not firing, if he continues to play in that way, there has to be a change. And it's not going to be Aaron Rodgers that gets sent off somewhere. It's going to be Mike McCarthy who gets fired. So I still think there's time to turn it around. I don't think that they're going to be able to rein him in, but I still think it could happen. I just don't think the percentage is in favor of that. So I don't want to be too, like, I don't want to jump off the deep end. It's only been 2 weeks. The Packers are still a really good team, full of a lot of talent. with a lot of potential to be great. The question is, can the coaching staff rein it back in? I hope so. It's not completely out of the question.
Okay, I got to jump in and ask this question then.
Here, here.
We're talking about Mike McCarthy and the coaching staff in general. I guess I want to ask the point-blank question, is McCarthy losing the team right now? And let's project into the future here because we have an early bye week. If the Packers are, let's say, still playing at the same level basically they're playing at now after week four, when we're looking at the bye week, would you be particularly concerned that Mike McCarthy is losing this team in the locker room? Because winning is great. There's been a lot of winning in Green Bay. But when you're not winning championships, I think that the messages probably start to grow a little repetitive and a little bit stale. So, James, do you feel like McCarthy may be actively losing the team? And would you be concerned about, you know, if they're in this same place in 2 weeks?
I think that if he hasn't lost the whole team, he's losing or lost his starting quarterback, which I think is probably not an optimal way to start getting your team back. However, I don't think he's lost the whole team. I think that he has his supporters there. His play calling is insane, and it makes me want to throw my ottoman through my television when I see Eddie Lacy running perpendicular to the line of scrimmage, but or parallel to the line of scrimmage. Geometry's hard. I don't know if you guys have ever done geometry, but it's difficult.
I just avoid those words. Those are big words. I just don't use them.
Yeah, geometry, like what's the capital of France? Geometry. Anyway, if we lose the game, if the Packers lose against Detroit, then all bets are off. It's full steam ahead into the abyss at that point. And I will avoid social media like it has some sort of virus forever. But we'll have to wait and see. It's kind of a lame answer, but I think it's going to wait and see. And I can envision several scenarios where Mike McCarthy does not come back to the Green Bay Packers next season.
I'm going to jump off the deep end completely. Okay, no, I'm not going to jump completely off the deep end. I have liked Mike McCarthy as a head coach. I think he's done a fantastic job in Green Bay. There are times where I want to gouge my eyeballs out, especially that stupid toss play, the halfback toss that they're running with Eddie Lacy now. They used to run with John Kuhn, which what is that? What is that? And he used to do that all the time. He'd toss it to Kuhn, or third and one draw plays out of the shotgun with John Kuhn. And now he's just doing silly things with Eddie Lacy, stretch plays with Lacy, just put your fullback in, call some power runs, and just pound it up the middle and watch Eddie Lacy destroy everybody.
Why do we have Aaron Ripkowski if we're not going to use him? That's a better question.
Yeah, why have a fullback on the roster at all if you're not going to use him? He played two snaps. Now, he's good on special teams, but you don't carry a fullback on your team just because he's good at special teams. You fill another roster spot in positions you're going to use. So back to the question, though, has Mike McCarthy lost his team or is he actively losing his team? I think I agree that he hasn't lost everyone. I think he is losing Aaron Rodgers. I think that has been evident since last year. Look, this isn't just a two-game thing. This isn't just week two. We watched, 16 games plus some playoff games last year where the offense looked exactly like this. And so seeing this again in week two against the Minnesota Vikings felt like watching all of that crappy football we watched last season. It felt terrible. It was so terrible to watch. And so I think a lot of Packer fans are frustrated and nervous that that is the football we're going to get for this year, because that is absolutely possible for the next, 14 games. We're going to watch this offense be what it was last year for 16 games plus some playoff games. I don't want to watch that again because it was terrible. And so we might be buckling up for that again. And if that's the case, I don't know. I just can't believe that would. So I think what happened is, I think McCarthy decided, I want to light up scoreboards. I think we can go deep more often. I think we can run some plays that will break free deep and get us some bigger chunks of yards at a time. He wants to eat up more field more quickly. And so he's kind of adjusted what he's doing to do that. And in the process, broke his offense. And last year convinced himself that if they had Jordy Nelson, his offense would have worked. It would have been exactly what he thought it would be. And now Nelson's back, and it's still not working because it very much depends on the quarterback to be on. He needs Aaron Rodgers to be playing at the top of his game, and Aaron Rodgers is playing very, very poor football. I don't think that it's helping making some of the decisions that he's made with the play calling, like I said, and the Josh Sitton cutting. I know that Ted Thompson plays a role there. That's not Mike McCarthy necessarily, but with Josh Sitton being cut, and guys on the team being close friends with him, that will create an issue in a locker room where the players feel like they don't necessarily want to follow the leaders as a whole of their football team. The whole front office, the coaching staff. Now, how much of that is true? I don't know. It's all speculation at this point, but I think Mike McCarthy is losing his voice in the locker room.
All right. I wanted to talk about play calling. A particular play we wanted to talk about, the 4th-and-1 call. Packers, fairly deep into Minnesota territory, decide to go for it on 4th-and-1. Going with a running play with Starks. And, Jeremy, I'll throw that to you first. Your thoughts on that particular play, and what swear words did you use when they didn't get the first down?
I didn't use any because I was dumbfounded. So it's 4th-and-1. I think hindsight's 20/20. When they don't get the first down, everybody looks back later in the game and says, you should have taken the 3 points, but if they got the first down, everybody would have loved it. If that drive ended in a touchdown, people would have been very happy with the way that turned out. And I have a theory on why they called that. I think McCarthy didn't want to get into a game of running the football with the Minnesota Vikings, because that dirty, gritty football, that's the football the Vikings win. That's the football they hang in and they win. I think he wanted to put as many touchdowns on the board as he could, and he wanted to make the Vikings chase them. So he took a shot. He took a chance. However, you have Eddie Lacy on your team. He runs everybody over in front of him. He can gain a yard. And you have a fullback on your team. You don't put either of those guys on the field. And you run with James Starks out of the shotgun on a huge play on 4th-and-1. I don't understand. It's players, not plays. He's calling his plays because he believes in them and putting personnel on the field that don't execute the way that it needs to be executed. He's not doing things based on the skill that he has on the team. He's doing his things based on the system that he has built and that he believes in his system. And I wholeheartedly disagree with the decision to put James Starks on the field there.
All right. James, your swear words of choice?
Well, I could go into a long drawn out story of how you probably don't want to be around me during Packer games because I tend to get loud and things get thrown and occasionally glass gets broken just once or twice.
I understand.
However, this game was at night on a school night, and so my children were snuggled up in their little beds, and I was not allowed to get loud Lambeau. So I did not use any swear words. I did, however, invent a few in my mind that I couldn't say out loud at the time. As Jeremy said, the fact that you're running with James Starks out of the shotgun on 4th-and-1 without a fullback is mind-numbingly just stupid. It's just dumb. It's a case of Mike McCarthy trying to get cute, and biting him in the can again. And it happens, I don't know, 5 or 6 times a year, where there's a play where it's McCarthy trying to be cute and it doesn't work. I don't fault him at all at all for going for it on fourth down. I love it. I love the aggressive play calling. I think when you're with it, when you're in that type of field position, you're in within 7 yards of a touchdown and it's fourth down and your team has been struggling and you want to get points, yeah, go get your points. But you got to do it the right way because the Vikings aren't going to let James Starks run out of the shotgun for 2 yards. They're just not going to do it. So I hated that play. I hated it.
I mean, we're talking about it. The Vikings are probably the best defense in the league. Mike Zimmer does a fantastic job, and they have potential Pro Bowl players on every level of their defense. They've put together a really good defense there. I don't mind the call. I totally agree with you. I like the aggressiveness. I think it's the right call. Go for it. Heck yeah. But you put the personnel in there that have the best skill set to make that play happen. And that's not what they did. And they called a run out of the shotgun, which, you know, I'm not necessarily against. I mean, it works just fine in Madden. Look, I play a lot in Madden, so I know so much about football. That's my favorite thing that people say when they call into sports radio stations. I play Madden, so I know what I'm talking about. Anyways, I don't like that play call, and I don't like the personnel at that point. With 1 yard to go, I don't like that. But the call is good. I like it. Be aggressive. Go for it. But just get it.
Do it a smarter way. Don't. Sometimes in the NFL, you just have to put your head down and be ugly, but get your yards. And it's like McCarthy's allergic to that. Like, he can't do that. He feels like there has to be style points.
And I think he does like that element of outsmarting other people. Right. I think he likes that a lot.
I mean, he talks about being a Pittsburgh guy, and he's blue collar, and he's grit. And, you know, he's all these cliche things that mean, you know, I'm tougher than you. And then he comes out, and he tries to be cute, and it doesn't work.
Right.
So. All
right. Let's talk about one matter of possible personnel change coming up. CJ Spiller came in to Green Bay. Presumably, Packers were looking at him, maybe going to offer him a job. By the time you're listening to this, maybe you know whether he got an offer for a contract or not. But, James, I'll throw it to you first. CJ Spiller, I believe 29 years old. Been around the league a little bit with the Bills and then went to the Saints, and I forget if there was another stop in there somewhere, but would you be interested in CJ Spiller joining the Packers?
Absolutely, as long as he is in decent shape and can still run the ball, yeah. I am a huge believer in having a 1-2 punch in the running game, and as much as I've liked James Starks in the 6 years, I think, or 7 years he's been a Packer, his stats this year, he's ran the ball 11 times for a grand total of 10 yards. And granted, it's a small sample size, but, and I'm not good at math, but that's like not good. So, which is a professional way of saying it's terrible. So if CJ Spiller can come in and provide and show that he can provide a different aspect, I hate to use the term thunder and lightning because that didn't work in Denver, but something, a spark. We miss John Crockett. I'm going to say it. I said it. It's a hot take.
There you go.
We miss John Crockett.
I know I do. All right, Jeremy, pro or con Spiller?
I like the idea of bringing in CJ Spiller. I would like to see some of those toss plays and stretch plays with him. That makes more sense. He's a guy with speed. He's definitely better for those kind of plays. I would like to see that happen. I think that would be great. He's only, he's like 29? He's not even 30 yet. I think that could be a help to the offense, but I think that, to me, this is a clear show that Ted Thompson is uncomfortable with where the offense is right now. Because another need that they really have right now is nose tackle. They just lost Troy Guyon for a few games, and Mike Pinnell's not going to be back for another 2 weeks. They need a nose tackle. Terrence Knighton is a free agent right now. And I know, it's not like he's been a world beater the last few years. Neither has Spiller. but I'm filling that need before I'm filling a running back need. They need a fat guy right now, not a running back. I would like both. It's not going to happen. But I think the smart move is to sign a guy that you can plug in the middle of your defensive line, because now you're thin at the position and you're going to end up playing a rookie at the position. So I like CJ Spiller. I prefer Terrence Knighton.
My guess is that they're, if I had to posit one, is that if Guyon's only hurt for 2 weeks, well, you know, it's the Lions then the bye. So the Lions don't have a very strong running game. So my guess is that their thought is, well, we'll make do with Kenny Clark until week five.
Well, and they run a lot of packages too, where they don't even have a nose tackle on the field.
Right.
You know, they do a lot of stuff with just Mike Daniels and whoever they decide to put at the end, which has actually been, you know, like Peppers has been rotating in, which, you know, isn't new for anybody, but they don't necessarily put a nose tackle out there a lot, but I still think that that's a position you want to fill with that injury, because it might be, like, you think 2 weeks for Guyon, it could be longer. And CJ Spiller isn't going to fix the offense. He's going to be a nice toy, like a nice toy to have. Like, it's really cool that I have a new car, but I still can't afford gas, so it's not going to go anywhere anyways. Aaron Rodgers is what is needed to fix this offense, and it's up to Aaron Rodgers to make that happen. CJ Spiller would be cool. It'd be fun in Madden. It would be a lot of fun to have him in Madden. That'd be great. But other than that, I don't think Spiller's going to be the thing that sparks the offense.
All right. On that note, we are going to light a spark under our sponsor, and then we're going to come back with Twitter questions. So I'm going to throw it to me, and go me.
Thanks, me. Well, it's time to tell you a little bit about our homies at What's the Score, the sports news quiz again. On What's the Score, they test the knowledge of panelists and listeners alike, asking questions about statistics, recent events, and those memorable quotes we seem to be hearing just about every week now from the world of sports. This past week's episode of What's the Score featured two guys fighting it out at the top of the WTS leaderboard, Ian DeMars and the ever-lovable Dan Pfeiffer from WOKY The Big 920 and Marquette University Athletics, and, well, he's a voice just about everywhere these days. Upcoming shows of What's the Score are slated to include Mr. Pfeiffer, Armin Sarian, also from 920, and there's some other excitement coming down the bend with October's shows as well. To check out What's the Score, you can go to their website, WTSSportsQuiz.com. You can also check them out on Spreaker.com, iTunes, and very soon you will be able to find them on the iHeartRadio app. And by all means, please consider signing up to be a contestant on the show. Titletown Sound listeners would do pretty well on there, I'm guessing. Now I'm going to toss it back to the handsomest member of the Titletown Sound crew. You know who you are.
You're soft, you're sloppy. They calling me Poppy. I'm rolling in bands, riding around, and I'll beat up jalopy. Hey, dog, pros want a cop,
but they are just not. Oh, thank you, Mead. So, what a kind guy. I like when I do reads for What's the Score. It's very nice. Time for Twitter, guys. You ready? We got some hot takes coming in on the Tweetar machine. And we're running a little long on time here, so we'll abbreviate things a little bit. I gotta ask you guys this one from @pack_rules1978. Is it possible Aaron Rodgers is actually resisting acting out when he knows Mike McCarthy's play calling needs variety, thus falling on a sword? James, I'll throw that to you first.
Absolutely not. If this is him falling on the sword, I would hate to imagine him acting out, because
he'd be swinging a sword. That's what
he would be on the field, just throwing his helmet. Like, he'd be like Kyle Turley and like. Oh my God! There'd just be bodies everywhere. We all know Aaron Rodgers is I love the guy, and I would love to hang out with him, but he's a brat, and he's our brat, so we love him. I said brat, not Brett. Brat. But we love him, and no, there's no way. He's not capable of falling on the sword. He'll f*** that thing in McCarthy's
Whoa, I'll be deleting that. I'll be deleting that from the podcast.
Deleting what?
I don't know. Any terrible references?
I'm so sorry. That happened way before I knew it was going to happen. Like, I didn't...
That's great.
Yeah, that's what you say all the time, I'm sure.
Shut up, Babo.
I'm just gonna beep it out in the podcast. Like, it's still gonna be.
Can that be one of my sound drops?
No, that can't play on every single episode that we make.
He threw it in McCarthy's.
Oh God, this podcast is gonna be such a mess to edit. Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Okay. So, Jeremy, you didn't answer the question yet, right?
No, I did not.
Okay, so I'll throw it to you here, and you can do whatever you want to do.
All right. No, this is not some kind of magnanimous decision from Aaron Rodgers to make everybody feel warm and soft. That's not what's happening here. Rodgers is clearly upset. He's upset every week. So if he's trying to hide it, he sucks at it. So. Well, you know, I'm not going to say that he's mad for those specific reasons either. I don't think it's about, I don't know, maybe it is. Maybe you're not wrong. Maybe it's just the fact that McCarthy's play calling and his offense has become a little bland and Rodgers is very bored. So, possibly, but no, he's not falling on any swords.
All right. Question here from Ben Cadwallader. Hope I pronounced that right. At Caddymation. Do you think McCarthy needs to return to his West Coast offense-style roots instead of current lack of rhythm? And I don't know. This doesn't feel like a West Coast offense when I watch it right now. So, I mean, does McCarthy kind of need to go back to the past to make this offense work well again, Jeremy?
Yes. Yes, he does. Yeah, currently they're not running West Coast. Jay had a nice breakdown of it. He used to podcast for Packers Talk Radio Network, where you can find this beautiful podcast and many others. But on his podcast last year, Jay was talking about how the Packers are running Air Coryell now. And he's right. They are. They're not running a West Coast offense any longer. And that is exactly the issue that I'm talking about, where McCarthy changed his offense and broke it. I think that he's trying to bite off more of the field than he should at one time. I think they need to switch back to the West Coast, dink and dunk their way down the field and score touchdowns and stop messing around with this bullcrap. It's not working.
James.
Here. He needs to go back. Obviously, this isn't working whatsoever. Throwing the ball outside of the hash marks. I know that they're in love with the back shoulder pass to Jordy, and they missed that all last year, and that was like their big dream was to get that back. I get it. But you can't do that 42 times a game and expect it to work. And that's what they're doing. It's ridiculous that they went out and they got a tight end, a big tight end, a fast guy, who was supposed to open things up by running down the seam a la JerMichael Finley. And it took until week two for him to get involved. And even then, it was kind of an afterthought. At least it felt like it. It didn't feel like Jared Cook played into the game plan whatsoever.
They seem to run more of that middle stuff in the second half. You're right. They seem to... In the second half, that's when McCarthy started doing some more stuff over the middle. You saw more slant routes. You saw crossing routes over the middle. And you saw Jared Cook get involved. But right. too little, too late. I mean, just not enough.
If you think back to all the 2011 through 14 Packers that everybody seems to be clamoring for, you know, the big bombs to Jordy, down the middle of the field. And what got those to happen? What allowed that to happen? The offense where they would dink and dunk for three or four downs, and then they'd send Jordy flying, and he'd be there because the defense had to honor the short routes, the middle routes.
Right.
That's how it worked. And they don't do anything anymore to keep defenses honest. Defense knows they can put a single safety high, and he'll probably never even see the ball.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. Something I did notice on the film, and like I said, I'm not fully through it. Defenses, the Vikings did not respect the Packers' passing game at all from the beginning of that game. They ran single high safety most of the game. They brought Harrison Smith down into the box a lot, and they dared Aaron Rodgers to throw the football. They dared him to. And he had guys open all game long. I saw one play where Jordy was open from the second the play started. You knew that he beat his man. Rodgers saw him. It was a designed play where the pocket shifted over to the left. Rodgers was on a boot. He moves into the pocket, and he's watching Jordy this whole time. He's got his eyes on Jordy because he knows Jordy's going to be open. He doesn't set his feet, sails the ball over Jordy's head. If he didn't sail it over Jordy's head, it's possibly a touchdown because he was already past the safety and he had beaten the corner, no problem. Rodgers is the issue. For the most part, Rodgers is the issue right now. His accuracy is the issue. And that happened over and over this week. We saw it this week, and we saw it in all of those games last year.
And what's going to lead to better accuracy is receivers being... And yes, receivers were open this game, but if he can consistently see his same jersey sitting there waiting for the ball, it's going to come back to him. He's not... You don't just lose that. It's not like a set of car keys where they're gone.
Aaron Rodgers. He's still Aaron Rodgers. It's in there. It's not gone. We haven't lost Aaron Rodgers for the rest of his career, okay? People out there saying that Rodgers is done, you guys are idiots. You, my friends, are some of the dumbest Packer fans I have ever met. All of that ability is still there. He needs some coaching, and he needs to fix his footwork. You don't lose that overnight. If he could do it in the past, he can do it now. I understand players getting older and losing arm strength and losing accuracy because their body is deteriorating. That's not what's happening here. Aaron Rodgers' technique is poor, therefore his play is poor. Technique is correctable, his play is correctable. Give it some time, chill the hell out. Aaron Rodgers is just fine. But he needs to fix this crap. Simple as that.
Last couple of Twitter questions before we wrap up here. At Chedlocks, shout out to Chedlocks, do Packer fans really believe everything should be perfect from wire to wire as long as we stay healthy and peak at the right time? Seems like that's a nice sort of calm way of looking at things, Jeremy, isn't it?
It's more calm than
or
I...
should they be perfect?
It's more calm than I've been for this whole show. No, they don't need to be perfect. It is about, in a lot of ways, it's about getting hot at the right time, which can still happen. This all can be corrected. And by the time the playoffs come, Aaron Rodgers can have his footwork back together and things can be running the way that they used to. I believe that that can happen. Are they going to do a full-fledged offense revamp in the middle of the season? No, that's not going to happen. They're going to have to figure out how to win with what they have. So Aaron Rodgers needs to correct his footwork. And then when the right time comes, yeah, they could get hot. And they can still win the Super Bowl. So absolutely. It doesn't need to be perfect.
Yep. Happened when they won Super Bowl 45. A lot of injuries. Got hot at the right time. James, what do you think?
The question was, do fans expect the Packers to be perfect wire to wire? Something along those lines, correct?
Okay. Yes.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of fans feel entitled to watch a Packers team that scores 48 points a game with no punts and wins by 4 touchdowns every single week. And honestly, for a few years, that's the way it was for the most part. And so they got used to it and they're like, this is great. We still have the same people in the key positions, so it should still be happening. And then they whine and they go overboard. And I get it. And I would not want to take away anybody's rights or anybody's ability to speak their mind. You do you. But as a fan base, we have to be better, because it's unbearable sometimes to go on social media during and after Packers games, and it's unbearable. So I tweeted during the after the game on Sunday, just give them till week six. After week six, if we're 2-4 or 2-3, then yes, go nuts, but let's let things develop a little bit.
Yes, give them until, you have to wait until a few games after the bye, because if they're going to make any big corrections, that's when it's going to happen. We got to wait and see what happens. It's altogether possible that something gets fixed. It doesn't mean I feel like it's likely, but you know, I'm just feeling negative today. So who knows?
All right. Last Twitter question comes from Jason Hicks at Hickory33. Can we talk about AP being hobbled through a TGI Fridays on the way to the locker room? And I do have to say, Jeremy, the provolone cheese seems to be slipping off of AP's Jack Daniel's glazed sliders a little bit. But they're seriously walking players through a restaurant now to get to the locker rooms? What's going on with that?
I think sometimes players want a snack, you know, on the way back to the locker room. Like, I'm injured, pass me some chicken strips or something, you know? I think it's ridiculous. Talk about invading someone's privacy. I know that it's not private, it's on television, but when somebody has just injured themselves and possibly lost their season, they shouldn't have to walk through a crowd of people that are eating chicken wings. That's the dumbest idea I have ever heard of. I understand wanting to trot your team out before the game through the TGI Fridays, and it's a cool experience for fans. You spent all this money on a stadium. Could you not have made at least a way to get to the stadium that doesn't go through TGI Fridays? I mean, sometimes dudes get hurt and they leave the field crying. Is that what you want to truck through your TGI Fridays? That's the stupidest thing I have ever heard of. Not only is your stadium a stapler, but your players are zoo animals. You idiots. It's so dumb.
All right. James, your thoughts?
I friggin' loved it. I thought it was great.
That's just because it's AP and he beats children. That's the only reason you liked it. That's it.
About, oh, okay, 98% yes. The other 2% is I hate the Vikings, and I love that their stupidity and their ignorance and their dumb stupidness is being was on display for the world to see in vivid color, that their first game in this $8 gazillion stadium, their star player, their franchise, the guy that runs the joint, is being traipsed through people who are nacho cheese sauce all over their faces to get to an X-ray machine. Oh,
why is Adrian sad, mommy? I don't understand.
I don't know, Johnny, but you better protect yourself.
If you put a quarter in the machine, food falls out and you can feed the animals.
I will say this. I pray that Eddie Lacy never gets hurt in that stadium.
Oh, no. Well, he wouldn't go through that. I don't think he'd go through that same tunnel. That is specifically the tunnel for the Vikings players to be trotted out in front of the fans. The Packers probably, or the away team, has their own tunnel, their own exit to their locker room, I'm sure. So, but that is a great point, because if Lacy gets hurt, he might request to go through the TGI fire tunnel. There were some people today saying they hate the Eddie Lacy fat jokes, but I think they'll never get old. It doesn't matter if he loses all the weight. Fat jokes are so great.
I'm enormously fat, so I love to make fun of the guy because we share a thing in common.
He makes millions of dollars and he likes cheeseburgers.
I make a few pennies and I do too.
Yeah, I'm halfway to Eddie Lacy. So, as far as that going through the TGI Fridays thing, I just hope, for all the fans' sake, that there isn't like some really nasty injury with like a lot of blood or something, and they have to walk through there. Because there's gonna be some major issues with the Bills.
That can't be the legit like plan for hurt players. Like that,
there's got to be another.
There's got to be another way out. And they went through the TGI Fridays, and while they're walking through, thought to themselves, "Oh, this was a bad idea." And now this week, they're all going to get instructions on how to find the other tunnels to get out. Like, it can't possibly be the one way to the locker room. It cannot be.
God, I love it. I hope so. I hope so so much. what a garbage team.
Well, on that note, let's start looking ahead to the Detroit Lions before we get kicked off the internet. Main thing, I don't know how much you guys have had been able to look at the Detroit Lions and kind of see what they got. One thing I noticed today was Aaron Dobson, wide receiver formerly of the Patriots, is in. And Andrew Corliss, former Packer, is out. So there's that little tidbit of news. Jeremy, any general thoughts on the Detroit Lions before we get to true-false?
I think the Detroit Lions still have some really good players on their defense. DeAndre Levy, Darius Slay, some really good pieces there. And they're still able to get after the quarterback. So, you know, if the play doesn't progress for the Packers on offense, this is not a shoe-in for a win. So, and I think the Lions offense can still score. They can still move down the field and score without Kevin Johnson. So this could be a tough game.
All right, James.
I agree. The defense is still good. It's still Levy especially is, I worry about him some, but
because of his beard.
It's the beard. Men with beards are just statistically more tough.
It's true.
But their offense is still run by a guy named Jim Bob Cooter. So they got that going for him. And they still have the biggest meathead on the planet slinging the ball at people's sidearm. So
it's beautiful.
Congratulations.
I forgot about Jim Bob.
Yeah, Jim Bob Cooter. And then after the game, he's going to go run moonshine. So, is it winnable? Yes, I think it's winnable. And I think if we had to play a division opponent, I guess it's a toss-up between them and the Bears this week, who I'd want to play more. But
well, the Bears don't have Jay Cutler anymore.
The Bears don't have anybody anymore, so that's fine. But well, they have a certain former guard of the Packers. But yeah. It's winnable. I'm not confident, but I'm not exactly, you know, expecting a blowout either.
I'm just going to say, you know, I think every game is totally winnable. Every single game on the roster. Every one of them. The confidence right now is a little low. I think they should beat the Lions, but don't be surprised if they don't.
All right. You guys ready for true or false?
True.
Very good. All right, one out of two of you said yes, so that's good enough for me to go ahead. True, false, number one, the Packers rush for at least 100 yards as a team. Packers right now are 19th in average rushing yards per game. They had 95, of course, in week one, only 83 last week. Detroit is allowing an average of 110 rush yards per game. They are 20th in the league against the run. So again, the Packers rush for at least 100 yards as a team. Jeremy, true or false?
I'm going to say true. Mike McCarthy said this week they need to run the ball more, which we've heard him say in the past and didn't see a whole lot of return on. However, I do feel like McCarthy's going to be searching for ways to take some of the weight off of Aaron Rodgers' shoulders and see if they can get some things corrected. And so I think they're going to run the ball a lot.
All right, James.
True. Eddie's going to get 100 by himself.
Ooh, sounds intriguing. All right, I'm going to say true as well. And unfortunately, we don't have Chris's answers yet, but we will get them so we can use them for next week. True, false, number two. Detroit rushes for at least 90 yards as a team. Detroit averaging 126.5 rush yards per game. That's ninth best in the league. Green Bay's defense has allowed 78 rushing yards total. That's number one in the league against the run. Number two, for frame of reference, is the Pittsburgh Steelers at 101 yards allowed total against Washington and Cincinnati, just in case you want to know who they were facing. So, Detroit rushes for at least 90 yards as a team. Jeremy, true or false?
I want to say false because the Packers are number one in the league, but they don't have Guy on this week, so they're a little thin on the defensive line. However, just to be an optimist, I'm going to say false? I don't remember the question.
Detroit rushes for at least 90 yards as a team.
False.
All right, James.
I'm a little worried without Guy on. And I don't know how Clay is going to be either because he's banged up already, believe it or not. So I'm going to say a hesitant true.
All right. I'm going to give a less hesitant true. Detroit's, you know, they got some guys in the backfield that are pretty good. Theo Riddick proving to be more of a weapon out of the backfield. But
never heard of him.
But we are talking rushing. We're not talking receiving out of the backfield. So, all righty. True, false, number three. Jordy Nelson leads the team in receptions by himself. So he can't be tied with somebody else for receptions. Jordy is tied for the team lead with 11 receptions so far this year, tied with Randall Cobb. He leads the team with 20 targets, 105 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns. So again, Jordy Nelson leads the team in receptions by himself, can't be tied with anybody. Jeremy, true or false?
True. I have no reasoning, just true.
That's as good a reason as any, though. James?
False. I think it's going to be Cobb this week.
All right. I am going to say true, simply because I think they're going to try to get Jordy going again and try to... I don't know. Screw it. I don't have a good reason. True, false, number four. Marvin Jones records at least 100 yards receiving. Jones has 203 receiving yards through 2 games. 118 of them came last week, for whatever that's worth to you. The Packers allowed, as far as the top receivers against the Packers, top receiver for Jacksonville only had 75 yards in week 1, but 182 to the top receiver last week without Sam Shields on the field. So, Jeremy, Marvin Jones recording at least 100 yards receiving. True or false?
I'm going to say false. I think even if Shields isn't back, which I think he will be, but even if he's not, I think Demarius Randle has a bounce-back game. There were plays in that game in Minnesota where he was supposed to have safety help and didn't. So I think they get some of those issues corrected, and I think the cornerback group has a good game this next week.
All right. James?
I'm going to... Really, who does Detroit have? They have him and they have Golden Tate, right?
And Eric Ebron. Yes. And
Aaron Dobson just signed.
And some Aaron Dobson, who came in off the street. So.
And baby Jesus. Oh, they have Anquan Boldin. Don't forget that.
Oh, that's right. He always kills the Packers. I'm going to have to go. I'm going to say false. I think he's going to be held under 100. I think whoever has him is going to hold him. And then somebody else will have a ridiculous amount of yards because that's just how we do it.
All right. I hate to agree with you guys again, but I'm going to say false.
I'm taking a peek here at the Lions roster. Dobson is not currently on there. And without Dobson on the roster, they only have 4 receivers right now.
The Packers have double.
Almost double. So...
True, false, number 5, Clay Matthews records at least 1 sack. Clay has 2 sacks through 2 games. Matthew Stafford has 79 pass attempts, been sacked 5 times. So if my math is right, he's getting sacked once about 17, every 17 dropbacks or so. So mathematically speaking, he should get sacked at least a couple times. So basically, do you think Clay's going to have one of those 2 sacks? So Clay Matthews recording at least 1 sack. against Detroit. Jeremy, true or false?
Yes, I think he will, regardless of what Pro Football Focus says about Clay Matthews the last two games. I think it's nice to have him back at outside linebacker, and I think that he's enjoying himself, and I can't see why he wouldn't get another one this week.
All right, James.
I haven't seen what Pro Football Focus has said about Clay Matthews, but coming from them, I can only imagine what inane nonsense it is.
I like Pro Football Focus, don't get me wrong. It has some value, but it's not the end-all, be-all. The first week they said Clay Matthews was the lowest-rated outside linebacker in the league.
Okay. To answer the question, I don't think so. I think I wish I knew the severity of whatever is injured on him, but I feel like Nick Perry will get one and probably Daytone.
Okay, so you're going false.
Yeah.
I'm debating this one a little bit myself. I'm going to go with you, James. I'm going to say false for that one. And we have a bonus true-false question. True or false, Jake Ryan leads the team in total tackles this week. Jake Ryan is tied for second in solo tackles on the team. Demarius Randall has 11. Ryan and Blake Martinez both have 9. Ryan also has 4 assisted tackles. So mathematically, it works out to 13, because apparently assisted tackles counts the same mathematically. I don't know how that works. But anyway, 13 total tackles. Martinez and Randall tied for second with 11 total tackles. So I had to ask the question, or make the statement, I guess. Jake Ryan leads the team in total tackles this week. Jeremy, true or false?
True. I'm being very positive in all these true or false questions, which is funny because I was hating on everything early in the show. But Jake Ryan had his best game as a Packer. Now, I know he's only into his second year as a Packer, but he did have his best game last week. He improved quite a bit from the first week. I expect to see that improvement continue. I don't know if he'll improve or just continue on with what he did last week. But I do think that at some point, if he doesn't do it this week, at some point he is going to lead the team in tackles for a game.
All right. So we got a true there. James?
I'm going to go with false on this one. I think when you look at the style of play of the team that we're playing, I'm not sure that they're gonna feed him any opportunities to make a whole lot of tackles. So I'll go with false.
All right. I, too, am going to go false on that one. And that means it is time for the segment that I want to stress. I didn't come up with this name just for legal reasons, so just want to put that out there. But it is time for Spread'em.
It's time for America's favorite segment, Spread'em.
Bovada.lv has Green Bay -8. Against Detroit, which we were talking before the show. Jeremy, you seem to think that was kind of a high number, and I am forced to agree. But for this game, James, you get the first pick on whether you think you're going to go with the Packers -8 or if you're going to go with Detroit against the spread.
It's crazy to me. After anybody who watched the game on Sunday giving the Packers 8, no. I'm going Detroit on this one.
All right, Jeremy.
No, I'm going with Detroit too. I think the Packers win, but I don't think that they cover.
All right, I should state at this point that we all, 'cause apparently, Jeremy, that wasn't actually you calling into the show last week, saying Minnesota. So you actually said Green Bay against the spread thing. So we were all wrong on this last week.
Yeah.
So basically, the three of us are all 0-2. Chris is 1-1 in this. But I'm going to go down with the ship, and I'm going to say Packers -8 is a little too high for my blood. I'm going to go with Detroit. Simply because it's -8's a lot. way the Packers have been playing. And also want to say, because I forgot to mention this earlier with True False, we had kind of a mixed week last week. Chris and James both got 3 out of 5 correct. Jeremy and I both got 2 out of 5 correct. And the standings are just incredible right now, because James is actually in the lead in True False with a 5-5 record. Jeremy, Chris, and I are all at 4-6 right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Jeremy, are you looking forward to Chris just blowing past us in the next few weeks and running off with the title again?
No, that's not going to happen. I always compete. You're the only one that ever gets blown away.
That's true. I am notoriously terrible. Yes, notoriously terrible.
My favorite
notoriously
rapper.
Terrible. Notoriously terrible at your own questions.
Jeremy's Shirt Shop sells pre-shrunk shirts. There we go. I got it this time. And on that note, I believe it's mercifully time to wrap up the show, Jeremy.
All right. This has been episode 77 of the Titletown Sound Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Overreaction Show. We are, we're very passionate about the Green Bay Packers, and we hope to bring you another show next week. Actually, that's not a hope. That's going to happen. You could follow the website. You can follow the show at Titletown Sound on Twitter. You can follow me at TTSO_Jeremy. Bobbo is at That's Our Bobbo, and James is at JKSub20. Thank you for listening to the show. Bobbo, do you have anything to say before we end?
I do. Since the Packers are going to be at home, everybody should also be following at PG Doug Schneider, who does the scanner squawk for Packers home games, and it is awesome.
Also,
so especially
look out...
if the game's not going well, you need a distraction, go for that.
Also, look out for the, before the game, look out for the Reds taco truck. They're giving out free beer and tacos. Yeah, James, you got anything to say before the podcast ends?
I would like to give my best to Brad and Angelina. I'm here for you both if you need consoling.
Yeah, troubling times. Very sad.
If those two crazy kids can't make it, what hope is there for us?
There's plenty of hope, don't worry. Anyone who wears someone else's blood around their neck is probably a little weird. Anyways, thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate you guys coming around. We appreciate you checking out the website. We're going to have the breakdown up later this week. Currently, there's a lot of post-game reactions, so if you want to see some of that, go to TitletownSoundoff.com. A lot of good reactions there. James's recap is up at the website. It's a fantastic read. Usually every week it's a good read. It's pretty funny, but this one is particularly great. So check that out, and we'll bring you another podcast next week.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. They're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name.